I am unashamed. What about you?
Unashamed Nation has once again displayed its power.
We've got the power.
I've got breaking news.
Breaking news, you hear it right? We need one of those like sound effects, Maddie, that when breaking news.
I had a moment yesterday. I had a moment where I was in a store and I thought, yes, Unashamed Nation speaks again. You mean to tell you about this? It was exciting.
You can, between the heat and killing the beavers.
So, I'm in my local Dollar General and needed a few items. And I always look over at this aisle, the candy aisle, because I remember that time I was in Tennessee and I found...
The coconut macaroon. So
the coconut macaroon.
The candy aisle is... New information that you're always
looking.
Always looking.
Because I remember that time.
I haven't been shopping in about a decade.
Yeah. I remember that time in Tennessee where I found the resurrection of the coconut macaroon. I told you about it.
And there have been many listeners that have stopped and looked for those all over America.
People, every Sunday, I at least meet somebody that says, I looked at my Dollar General, but no coconut macaroons. But I looked up. Now, this Dollar General, it's less than a mile from my house.
Yeah, it's right there.
And I looked there often. And I looked up, and all of a sudden, think cartoons, beams of light, choir in the background. Hallelujah. There is a full rack of coconut macaroons. And so what I planned to do was bring you, because I never actually showed you what they look like.
You did not.
Unfortunately.
According to the people in your car, you inhaled them.
In a moment of weakness, I have eaten all of those coconut macaroons in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, that's quite the news. We needed that.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, these people, somewhere, somebody... They had to have gotten word.
Got word.
And they put them in there for old Jace.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate
the power of Unashamed Nation.
I appreciate that. And this small company, I looked them up because I thought, I feel like I'm a spokesman for this company. I don't even know who they are.
Where's their headquarters?
They're in Georgia.
Georgia, that's a good sign.
And they make just little candies and knickknacks. I mean, I'm sure.
What's the name of it?
It was some kind of candy company. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a candy company in, I think it was Macon, Georgia. And I thought, man, they're probably wondering, what in the world?
Keep them in the Dollar Generals.
I was kind of disappointed that it was in the category of candy.
Are you looking for a check from these people? Or
he's always looking for a check.
But I'm just glad they're making them. You know, they're so soft and moist and just, they're so good. They're
delicious.
Well, I've never heard of
them. Send me a picture of them. I'm curious. I might make a phone call.
Look at Zach.
I'll tell you what.
He just turned into a businessman.
Give me endorsements. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you what.
I can see it right now. Jace's Macaroons.
I'll see if they've restocked, because a lot of these Dollar Generals, they'll have one, you know, they'll have one bag out. You know, one box out.
The sweetness never leaves.
They'll have another. They're like a dollar. I mean, you get.
So they're cheap.
Oh, they're cheap.
You charge $1.25 to get our endorsement. We get the 25 cent. The Unashamed. Give a discount to the Unashamed audience.
Somebody had to have made the call for that to happen. I was so shocked. I mean,
you've never seen them at our local. You've always looked when you go in there. Is that what you're saying?
I always look. Every time I go in there and look now. I can't help it. It's habitual. That's the first place I go.
Well, since there's a Dollar General about every mile and a half on the road that we live on, there's four of them over there. We need to check them all now and see if it's just the one.
They don't reach this far down.
I mean, literally, like, there's more Dollar Generals on our road, Arkansas Road, than convenience stores. Or at least as many as.
Well, the sad thing is the checker, because I went up there, you know, and I plopped down this magnitude of coconut macaroons, and I said, now look, whoever made this order, they need to be promoted. And the guy just looked at me with a blank stare. Nothing. No. Great to hear. Glad you're.
Glad you like them.
He just beep, 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 beep. Never acknowledged. So then I go home.
This is kind of a big guy.
Which.
You remember what he
was
like?
Tall and skinny.
Okay, no. There's a big guy that works down there, and I always have to. It's funny because he's usually outside smoking when you get there.
Oh, boy.
And he's got to finish off that cig.
I'm sure he appreciates that. So 5 minutes later, I'm at my house.
That's my experience at Dollar General.
And so I walk in the house. Of course, Missy's there. She's sitting on the couch. I walked in, arms raised, and I went, "Babe, it's happening." And she said, "What?" I said, "I think Unashamed Nation has spoken." And I said, "That Dollar General up there had a full rack of coconut macaroons," which got an eye roll and no response.
So the one thing the checker at Dollar General and your wife had is in response to your love for these macaroons, nothing, crickets.
Nothing, because Missy, she doesn't like coconut.
But you can only get them at Dollar General. Is that you can't find them anywhere
that brand.
No, look, I haven't gone down that far on the rabbit hole, but
but Zach is there. He's now doing research and development.
I mean, I'm researching.
Watching.
I'm
he's
like,
on his phone. He's got his computer going. I'm watching him. It's,
got two
it's like watching
right
a
here.
Wheel in motion. The hamster is now rolling. In North Carolina.
Here's what we do. We get a hold of these people, Zach, and we take over the world. One bag.
That's what I was thinking. See, that's exactly where my mind was.
We're bringing coconut back, baby.
You almost have talked me into trying that.
Oh, I tell you what, the next time they restock, I will bring a bag here. And maybe Zach.
We got to wait for another truck because he ate them all in the last 24 hours there.
Zach, think, you know, don't, I mean, do a fair deal because they just make candies. You know what I mean? So let's.
No,
we're,
gonna,
like
we're
trying to
fair.
Change the world, Zach. We're just trying to enjoy some macaroons around here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So, I mean, we're just trying to get fat here. We don't want to get slaughtered.
I don't know what that means, but let's.
That means you get greedy. I'm saying you just it's the greater cause here, right? I mean, that's we're all for the greater cause.
It reminded me of that preacher's joke when the guy says he had him a plate of ham and eggs, and the difference between involvement and commitment. He said, you know, the chicken was involved in this breakfast, but the pig, he was committed.
Now that's a good point. Sure. You need to use which,
that.
That
was pretty good. I had
used
that.
That's a good. That's a preacher's joke. There,
that's a preacher's
use that
joke.
In the sermon.
Yeah, I got a lot.
Let's
of that.
Set the stage for where we're at. Although I'm not completely ready to move on to the house of Mary and Martha, but since we have a guest today, we're forced to move on to the house of.
Well,
Mary.
We don't. We can still do the other, but
and we'll back up. Well, yeah. I think what I was trying to say last podcast is I think. That Jesus kind of laid down the shadow or the prediction, well, however you want to characterize this, Zach may can come up with a better word, of him sending out first the apostles, then the 72. He gives them this power, and they're going around, and they're healing diseases, they're casting out evil spirits, but they're preaching that the kingdom is near. And they're pointing to the king, which is Jesus. He's here. The Son of God is here. And so then you have this shift in who Jesus is, which I would say is the concentration, I guess, of the first nine chapters of Luke. And then it's kind of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what this means for human beings. So then I think you see in Luke 10, you see that, yes, the message is going out. And post-death, burial, and resurrection, the message is still going out. We're pointing people to Jesus. The king is here. But then we're also showing that by loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is, you know, love is the fulfillment of the law, and Jesus came to fulfill it. And then we're loving our neighbor as ourself, which is really... I would say the most difficult venture that we do. I mean, it's hard to love your enemies. And that's the story that we went over last time. Jesus picked an enemy and said, that guy saved your life. He told this to the teacher of the law, and it really convicted him to realize the only way you're going to achieve this kind of radical love for our neighbors, even our enemies, is if you experience that from the creator of the world, which was Jesus's mission. He gave us this love. We were all his neighbors, and he gave his life for us.
Yeah, because you're right. It's even hard to love family sometimes, but sure, harder to love your neighbor or your enemy on top of that, which is kind of the whole point.
So that's kind of where we're at. We didn't talk about what it really means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and why this guy, the expert in the law, was having trouble with that. Because Jesus said, do this and you'll live. Because he knew, the expert in the law, he summed up the law correctly in verse 27 when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is like, do it. So then he says, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells this very profound story where the Samaritan was the enemy. And I do think, in a way, was a picture of what Jesus did for everybody. And then Jesus pretty much says the same thing at the end. Go and do likewise, extending this mercy. Realize that mercy is going to be given to you, and then go and do it likewise. So then you come to the home of Mary and Martha, and it seems to give this picture where Jesus and his disciples were on their way. They came to a village. This is verse 38 of chapter 10. A woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. Now, this is the only thing Mary did. This is the only context we have in this specific story. Mm-hmm. She was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And before I read Jesus' response, this was sort of a prayer, if you think about it. She had a request to the Son of God.
She had a problem.
Saying, help me. Look at what's happening. Here's the problem. And the answer of Jesus was a resounding no. Martha, Martha, which in their culture, same name repeated twice, I think was a sign of compassion, yet challenge.
Yeah, a little bit of a little bit of both.
The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. So you have an alternative.
But few things are needed, or only one.
Yeah.
So yeah, some say only one thing is needed. I read that in a different version.
Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So there's a lot to ponder there.
There is.
One thing I would like to submit before we go to the conversation is that I heard an illustration one time of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And not saying I agree with this illustration, but it made me think. And the thought was, what would you do if you were by yourself and you had nothing to do? There was no phone. You had no responsibility. You're just, let's say you're sitting in a park. Where does your mind go in those moments when you're completely, you're not busy? Because the statement was made is you find what you're really all about in your solitude. That's the statement. So wherever your mind goes in that moment is probably what is most important to you. And I thought it was a good illustration, because if it goes to the Lord, which is really what prayer is about. I think this is a prequel to, in Luke's mind, into what prayer is all about in this father-family relationship. We're like children, you know, so we audaciously have these requests, you know, because of the father-son relationship. But I think it's a good question, because really that's what loving, the root of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is how you are when you're completely by yourself. That's the thought I wanted to present, because I think that's what Mary was portraying.
Right.
In all the things she could have been doing, she was like, I'm going to sit at the feet here.
She was focused in.
And listen.
I like it. So we're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to bring in our guest. I thought it was important, since we were going to be talking about these two women in this context with Jesus, that hearing a woman's perspective would be a good thing. And so I've invited a very special woman to be on our podcast. So when we come back from our break, we'll introduce her to the Unashamed Nation. So we'll see you in a minute. So I really don't miss the old days of having to be responsible for a business. I mean, we all have our own business, I guess, but it's pretty much just you and Missy or me and Lisa or mom and dad. But back when we were in the duck call business, you know, you just have a lot of responsibility when you have employees, when you have people depending on you. Your business gets to a certain size, and then you start having these cracks that emerge, and things begin to fall into the cracks. So if this is happening for you, three numbers that our friends at NetSuite want you to know: 36,000, got that, Chase? 36,000, 25, and 1. That's the three numbers you got to remember. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. They're the number one financial cloud system, streamlining accounting. They have financial management, inventory, HR, and more. So there's your 36,000. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. So that's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down their cost. And 1, because your business is one of a kind. So you get a customized solution for all your key performance indicators in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need in one place. So right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist, designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/Phil. That's netsuite.com/Phil to get your own KPI checklist, netsuite.com/Phil. So our special guest has arrived, and our beauty on set is quadruple.
Lisa's here. Have you been in the doghouse lately?
I have not been in the doghouse. I've been in the good house.
This is how he stays out of the doghouse.
This is how you stay right out, Jay.
It's preemptive. That's right. That's right.
So we brought in Lisa to help us in our discussion about Martha and Mary. I thought it was important to get a female perspective. Jay's kind of set the story up, and maybe you heard it when you were in here, coming out of this parable of the Good Samaritan in this discussion, so which I thought was interesting, Jay.
Well, one thing I didn't say, what I believe, I could be wrong, is that when he sets up this idea about loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength as fulfillment of the law, or summing up the law, and loving your neighbor as yourself, well, he tells the story and illustrates what it means to love your neighbor in this debate between the scholar and the author, which Jesus was the author. And he won the debate. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it was...
It wasn't even close.
It was beyond scholarly, his response. There's so many nuggets in that, and we'll revisit that in the next couple of podcasts. But then I feel like this is a situation where, you know, Martha's kind of putting the ministry, the idea of the event for Jesus and the details. This is a leader. This is a hard worker. These are the people you want on your team in church ministries. And you see, I think, Mary getting the first point on what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think it's an illustration where the parable of the Good Samaritan was an illustration to the love of your neighbor. I think this is an illustration of what that means, because Luke then in the next chapter gets into prayer, what it means to have a prayer life, what that looks like, the sonship relationship that we experience with the Father.
And you know, Luke dedicates more passages to prayer and Jesus' prayer life than any of the other Gospels, which is interesting. So I think he finds that a lot, Jason, that idea that you brought out about the idea of focus, which is kind of what Mary was doing, and that idea about
she had the focus. She got it in the moment.
I think this has a lot to do with hospitality, because I think a lot of times we get caught up in the weeds when we are having people into our home. And I think what Jesus's point is here is don't forget the guest. Don't forget who you have in your house. You're so consumed with having the perfect meal on the perfect table with the perfect place setting with, you know, enough chairs for everybody to sit.
This is why I wanted you on the podcast, because none of us would ever worry about any of what you just said.
I know. But we sometimes get into that to where we feel as though we can't have people in our house unless we have this, and this, you know. And that's, you know, I think to me, Jesus is saying, forget all that. Come and listen to me. Yeah. I mean, I got some things I want to tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be here forever. Come on and listen to me. Forget about all of that. But I also see the other side of Martha, because having Jesus in your house is a big deal. I mean, I would want to have the perfect meal, the perfect place setting, because I'm the hostess, you know, and I want to be the hostess with the mostest.
So you would have all the plates set out that we never eat on.
That's like, right. Yeah, exactly.
The fancy stuff.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can relate to both sides of this, because look, if Jesus is in my house, I want to listen too. But I think Martha, maybe I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I think she was a little bit concerned about this, because this is not what women did. This is what men did. Men sat at the seat at the feet of the rabbi,
women. It's actually culturally inappropriate.
Yeah, you're right. It's 100% culturally inappropriate. But look, you see from other stories. Remember the one in John 11, where it says it was Martha's house. I mean, her sister Mary and brother Lazarus. Yeah. Didn't say it's Lazarus' house, but you get the picture that Martha.
She's running the show.
She was a go-getter. And look, we all love her for it.
Probably the oldest.
Yeah, and we all realize Jesus loves her for it. Just in this moment, what Jesus does to us all is there has to be a realization that your performance is not what matters in God's approval of you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think she was, from their system that they're coming out from under, there's always a temptation. Look, and it's never changed 2,000 years later. In most religions, people think, well, if I'm good enough and I do enough good things, well, then God will be happy with me. And which is kind of what the expert in the law, to go back to what he said, that was kind of his thought. You know, what exactly, which buttons do I need to push to get some inheritance here?
Yeah.
And be in good graces with God. The problem with that is when you ask that question, then you just do the least that's required, or in Martha's case, where she had a good heart, you're missing the fact that the source of all goodness, it does come from God. That's why Mary listening is a better path
for. So that Mary there, is that the mother of Jesus?
Nope.
No.
That's what I thought.
There's a lot of Marys in them.
Well, it is. And this is the same ones in John 11. That's the only ones I have in my note, but they come up again elsewhere.
Right.
You may look that up.
Yeah. So, yeah, John 11, which is where the Jason mentioned it. You remember when Lazarus gets sick and Jesus delays a couple of days, he dies. And so when he comes in, the same two people, Martha and Mary, and they're super upset with Jesus because their brother has died. Right. And they knew in their minds he could have saved his life and healed him. And so, you know, we had the whole conversation with them about that. But it's interesting,
You move on, too, remember, he went to go to raise him. She doesn't realize that's fixed to happen.
Right.
And she's like, no, it's the smell.
Yeah, it's been 4 days.
She's telling Jesus no. She doesn't realize in the moment she looks like an idiot after, because she's like, don't go in there because of the smell. I mean, we all have a person like that in our life who are just quick to say something and in charge. And technically, she would have been right. If 4 days of death is probably going to be a bad smell, and she didn't want everybody gagging. And
yeah,
but I think Martha had
quite the writing. Just to throw in this, it's quite the writing aimed at women. You know what I'm saying?
In a positive way.
I mean, yeah, in a positive way.
Which that Luke highlights women more than any of the other gospel writers.
And right in the middle of a culture that was mean.
Right. And Lisa's right. It was probably part of the issue. Let's take another break.
To me, it seems like from the John 11 passage and then from this passage, Martha has a really close connection with Jesus. I mean, she feels as though they are very close and that she can share these things with him. You know, she can share with him, look, I mean, my sister's not even helping me. Can you tell her to come in here and help me? I mean, I'm trying to prepare this meal. And what
pretty
we got
amazing.
Yeah. What we got to think about is what went into preparing a meal back then. I mean, they had to grind the grain to do the bread. I mean,
they stopped by Dollar General.
That's exactly right. They didn't get macaroons.
Every meal was homemade.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
they didn't go get some buffalo wings down there. It just wasn't.
There was no supermarket.
No supermarket.
But this was pretty super. So, you know.
Yeah. But Jesus says, look, it's all about the people. Don't forget your guests. When your guests come in, don't forget that. And that's the part that I take away from that. I usually, when I was younger, I was probably more like Martha. I still am to a certain extent. I have to have all those things in order. I'm less like that now because I have 6 grandkids. And when you walk into my house, it's not like it used to be. I mean, you know, it's not nasty, but it's, you know, there's stuff strewn all around. So I'm not.
I thought it was neat when I go by there.
It's very
well.
It's more neater than where I live.
I'm not.
Even
I don't
my yard.
Collect things. I don't have collections. So, but you know, again, I want to be more like Mary, and I want to remember the guests that I have in because what you want for your guests is you want to have conversation, you want to have love, you want to have encouragement. That's why you invite people in.
Have you ever in your life where Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made? So there is a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. I think we all go
others,
through that.
You
yeah.
know, and you know, you say, well, you know, I don't deserve anything good to eat. Well, you know, you see these women in there, they're cooking like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
But, you know, so they're like, you know, y'all going to give me some help or what?
Right.
Well, Phil, you and Kay set the precedent. The reason we've always, you know, leaned on the right side of this is because we didn't have a whole lot, you know, coming up. But y'all were always focused on the guest and using your home as a means to share Jesus.
Yep.
And so even though at one time the menu wasn't as nice as it is now, people felt comfortable,
yeah.
and they didn't feel stiff and stuffy. And because I've had many conversations with people when you give a lesson on hospitality or you want to have outreach, and there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable with people coming into their house because they don't want their stuff broken. They don't
right.
a whole lot.
Yeah, they don't want stains on the carpet, you know. And I remember justifying all the shacks that we, the love shacks that we we lived in. Because when you have a house church, especially when you're younger and you have kids and all, look, everything in your house, if you do a weekly house church, is going to be destroyed.
I've seen Miss Kay at the end of a feed, a lot of different things going on there, you know. And we had some people of the world, but they're inside, so we're sharing Jesus with them. But I did notice that Miss Kay was at the door sometimes, said, so, okay, now, y'all just empty your pockets right here.
it was basically
the kids
a shit,
on the way out,
a
they had
frisk.
Pockets full of this and that and the other, and she was like, you just shake your pockets.
It was a, what was the old New York thing, the frisk and frisk
yeah.
and
yeah.
verify? It was
well, the most famous story at your house is we had a woman that was part of the house church. I guess I was a late teenager. And what y'all used to do, I don't know if y'all still do it, but Mom used to have a big old skillet over there, and no matter what the meal, they were making so many meals that all the scraps or the undesirable food or grease,
leftover like bones, grease,
they would put it in one pot. When it got full, you'd feed the dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
And
see
so
if they'd eat it.
Yeah, one of the guests, she was caught just getting spoonfuls out of the scrap pile with all the grease.
That's a true story.
And nobody had the heart to say, whoa, whoa. And as she was eating it, she was like, I need the recipe. That stuff had been compiled in that pot for a week.
It's a true story.
And we were like, wanted the recipe on all the grease and debris and bones.
You know you're a good cook when people are eating your scraps and asking for the recipe.
And so we're all over there dry gagging and thought, you know, it's all about perspective.
No, Miss Kay come whispering in my ear, you know, get rid of that.
Get that to the dog. Mm. But no, I think looking back, I'm glad you brought it up, Jace, because I think our lives doing small group ministry, house churches through the years, and we shared that with Zach, your family, and your mom and dad. So you saw both. You saw the Martha Mary principle both and mm-hmm. rather than either or yeah. because
you know you
there,
read
was,
this.
There was preparation, but then people would focus and come in, mom included, the women,
yeah.
everybody, and say, okay, this is our time of spiritual nourishment. So
yeah, if everyone did this and put into practice what Martha and them were doing there, it is a task.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
well, we're applying
one of these women here were saying, look, I need some help.
We're applying the love your neighbor aspect to this. That's why I said I think it's more about, but their guest was Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we realize the reason we are neighborly and the reason we are hospitable is because we look at what Jesus did for us mm-hmm. and yep. this mercy that is so dynamic in what his path. When he said, I resolutely set out to Jerusalem, you know, in the previous chapter, that was for us. I mean, he's going to a cross here.
By the way, Jase, while you're there, we've had people years later and say, you hear them talking, I remember the time when we came down there and we had a big feed, and they're telling you about when they actually saw the light and all of this. Yeah, I've had a lot of people say, yeah, you remember me? I'm like, well, you know, you look familiar there. I hadn't seen you in a while. Yeah, people come back, but they mention these little feeds down there on the river, you know.
Well,
that food is what they remember.
Yep.
They may not remember the food that they ate, but they remember the food that you fed to them in the word of
the spiritual, God. The spiritual food.
I've seen a lot of that through the
Jason
years.
Jason, I've talked about this in every gospel study we've done, how many good things happen around a table in Jesus' settings.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Countless. You think about just the Lord's Supper, but it was way more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And even the Easter Sunday that I preached about in my sermon yesterday, about the post-resurrection meals that Jesus had with his disciples. There's three different times when he eats with his disciples after he was raised from the dead. That tells you something about this idea yep. of sharing that yeah. together. So,
yeah, I'm just making the point that if you have Jesus in your home, literally,
mm-hmm.
you need to be listening at his feet. We'll figure out what we're going
to do. We'll get around to the other.
Because, look, I've seen a lot of people come to the Lord, and we were eating, you know, back in the day that we're talking about. It was beanie weenies and whatever we had, but it wasn't really about that. It was about, you know, the sharing Jesus. Because you got to remember the next chapter when he talks about how to pray, when he says that saying that your kingdom come, your will be done, when he's talking about that's how we should pray. Well, he did that same prayer before the cross when he said, not my will, but yours be done. He's actually teaching us, which I really think that's what ever since we got to chapter 9, on how we're going to respond to what he shows us. So he starts predicting his death, his burial, and resurrection. He's sending them out, and what happens? Frustration. They're getting excited for the wrong things. They're all of a sudden, you know, talking about who's going to be the greatest and who's going to be sitting at the right hand and the left hand of the kingdom. And he starts getting down into the nuts and bolts of what it means to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
At first, a lot of them said, you know, what they did, they did not understand what this meant when Jesus said, you know, listen, you know, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They were all like, what? All kinds of information were flowing out of these little get-togethers.
Well, I think, too, Phil, to your point, he's setting a precedent. I mean, how many times, my wife and I, on several occasions, when everybody left, We literally laid down on the floor and stood at the ceiling and thought, what happened? What are we doing?
What?
Yeah, it's like midnight.
What just happened?
Because you always have those people who don't realize the social etiquette on when to leave. Yeah. You know, when it gets midnight, which I pulled a Phil several times, I'm like, look, y'all are welcome as long as y'all want, but I'm going to bed. And Missy cannot stand it when I do that. But I'm like, babe, it's midnight. I'm tired.
That's right.
I'm wanting these people to come to the Lord, but I'm sleepy. Yeah. I'm tired. Like that guy that sang the song. But I was standing on the corner, not because I was waiting on a bus. I was tired. You know.
Let's take another break. Well, I did want to mention that there's a little. The word in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations. But, you know, it's interesting, this the Greek word for that, parispeo, is the Greek word. It means dragged away. And so it's a little more in depth than just, I mean, distracted is a pretty light word we would consider. But in other words, the Luke is making the point that she was not focused on Jesus. In other words,
no, you're right.
Her task had pulled her away from him.
Jesus' words were, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. You get it. You're suffering. It's pretty tough.
Yeah. No, Al's on to something, because it was, I looked the same word. It was like a self implosion. It's so busy and you're so stressed out. You have the pressure's on. Just think, if Jesus sent you a message somehow and said, I'm going to show up at your house church. Well, you know, can you imagine what would happen? Really? You're like, I mean, there would be panic and a stress level.
Oh, yeah.
That it'd be hard to describe. And I think the point is, we would get so caught up in the hoopla of that, the last thing we would be doing is what Mary, we should just be humble and listen to what he has to say, not like we're going to have some presentation that's going to be found worthy.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
We just don't have it in us to do it. And she was so caught up in all these things that she kind of self-imploded.
Right.
And was lashing out. Really?
Yeah, and I think there was more to this. Lisa mentioned it right at the very beginning. There was more to this idea that Mary was sort of out of her cultural role. And so Martha, who's already kind of not got the best of attitudes about the situation, I think she kind of lashed out at Mary. It's like, well, you're not even a man. You're not even supposed to be.
Who do you think you are?
What are you doing? Yeah. You should be in here helping me. Yeah. And so I definitely think it's affected her attitude in this. That's why Jesus chides her. He doesn't do it, you know, very harshly.
Right. Yeah.
Because you were right. I think he loves her and appreciates her. Every strong person I've ever met, but especially strong women that can take charge of things, there's usually some point in time where you're going to have a conversation like, okay, just settle down a little bit here. I mean, we've had that conversation.
Mary has chosen what is better.
Right.
Yeah.
She has.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to Jason's point, it was really good. I never really tied it to it. He says the one thing. Yeah, that's in that text. So in other words, if you're going to have the one thing you're going to be focused on, the Lord your God is the one thing you don't want to miss. You know?
But that's why I tied this in with prayer. Jesus has not given her what she thinks she needs. She thinks she's doing right. He's given her what she really needs, which in this case is the word no. You're coming to me, because it is a prayer. She's like, tell her to help me. I mean, she's giving a request to Jesus, and he's saying, no. You're worried, you're upset, I'm not doing that. In fact, I'm doing the opposite. She's the one doing right. You need to be like her.
Right.
Well, I'm sure that didn't go over well in the short term, because she thought she was doing the right thing. And I think it's where you're putting ministry ahead of the direction you should be pointing people toward. And sometimes you just kind of got to sit on the floor. And because just think about it. What if your meal is a disaster? We've all burned things. You have a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden you forget some key ingredient and panic. I've made so many trips to Dollar General mid-meal because because I realize, you know, I have no peanut oil and I'm frying fish.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we're, it's panic sets in.
We're minutes away.
And then arguments break out. Well, I don't know why you was on the list. I thought you, the next thing you know, you were bringing people over.
Who
to
plans
share
a
Jesus,
fish fry without peanut
and
oil?
We're having a knockdown drag out on who was supposed to get the peanut oil and how that slipped through the crack. I mean, how many times have you done
it? We just did it. So let's take our last break. Lisa and I just had some people over, and they wanted Lisa's pork chops, and they are good. And so we went down to the store the night before.
Mm-hmm. Late at night.
Late at night. Well, all they had that was that they had reduced price on stuff. Well, I should have known right then. This is a bad call, but they didn't have anything else. Well, they look fine. And so we buy them up. We take them home. Soon as we open that up the next day to get started on the pork chops, that first smell, I said, nope. No good.
Yep.
You know, that's why they're on the reduced aisle. So then it was the panic to get back down to the store, and luckily they had what we needed. But it was just what you described. We just did that too.
Oh, recently. I've done it so much.
He makes it perfectly clear when you get to verse 5 of chapter 11. He says, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me about 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So he's trying to brum a little groceries off of him because somebody's going to show up. Then the one inside answered, well, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. He'll finally say, all right, I mean, I'm going to help him out. Everybody's gone to bed, you know, but this guy's going to come along, and I need to prepare a meal here, and, you know, I'm out of grub. And Jesus said, hey, make the best, ends it up. Which of you, Father, if you ask for a fish, in other words, everyone who asks me receives. Who seeks me, he finds. Knocks on the door, and it'll be open. Just do what I've told you to do. Suck it up.
That's why I think it's about
prayer.
Pretty
tough.
That's why I think it's about prayer, because what does Jesus say on how do you pray? I mean, it's not like we have that 11 here, but, you know, somebody put that here.
Right.
In Luke's writing,
it just goes.
There was no break. And what is the second thing he says, categorically wise, when he says, when you pray, give us each day our daily bread? All of our, you know, all of our things that we have to offer to other people, it's coming from God anyway. You know, he didn't say weekly, or you should look at it as a daily thing. You got to be willing to stick with Jesus. If you lose everything you have,
it'd be uncomfortable for a period of time. You just got to suck it up and do it.
Well, that's what I think what he's teaching. All this is coming from me anyway. I'm blessing you. I'm taking care of you. You know, if you're going to trust me, you're going to trust me. And so you're so shaken by this momentous event that I'm coming, you've missed the whole point. I'm the one giving you everything anyway.
Yep.
But, you know, you make a good point, Jason. We were talking about our early lessons in hospitality. You can't approach this mindset of, well, we don't have enough money to feed people or have people in, or our home is not nice enough. You can come up with a ton of excuses to not do it. But
people do.
And people do all the time. But we never did that. Mom and dad were like,
"If you don't,
it didn't matter.
If you don't do it, yeah. If you don't do it when you don't have money, you won't do it when you do have money.
That's
And I've learned this about hospitality over the years too. Is when, and particularly in context of here, this passage, when you over prepare. Have you ever been to someone's house and it's like they're over prepared, and it's like uncomfortable because everything is so nice. But when you go into somebody's house that they just kind of invite you into it. To me, that's what real hospitality looks like. It doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, Woody Allen said 80% of success is showing up. It's just showing up. It's letting people come in and not being so prepared on the event that you miss, that you're not present with the people that are there. And I think that's why, you know, I think there's a whole generation of people that learn from Phil and Kay, all of our friends, on how to be hospitable. And it was not who has the nicest cookware or the China plates. There was none of that. But what was there was incredible food. It was always hot. The coffee was hot. Everything was good, and it was available, and there was plenty. whether it was catfish or filet mignon didn't really matter. I mean, it was this, we show up and you could relax and be a part of a family. And I think that's what it is. And Lisa, you guys embody that too. That's why when we come down to the LO conference, we're going to stay at y'all's house.
I had to repent, of course. You know, back when I was living in Phil and Kay's, because I didn't like it when we were having fried chicken and I knew somebody was coming and they were going to share the gospel with them, because I knew, well, that's extra people.
Less
so now I'm less. That the only thing I'm going to get is a neck or a back. That's what I was thinking. But then by the end of the night, I thought, well, we shared Jesus, and I attached sacrifice with that, but I still didn't like it, because I'm like, well, maybe they'll like the neck or the back, but nope. I always
granny and your mom did.
There was that other rule around how we grew up. You know, those homes where the kids, they make the kids the plates and everything, and the kids get fed first. There was none of that.
Hey,
so you did have to get in there and get what you were going to get.
You stumbled up on top 10 arguments me and my wife ever got into when I had to explain to her that our kids would be eating last. And she was like, what? Because she's like, it's not convenient. It's practical. I'd rather fix their plates and get them out of the way than we enjoy the meal. I was like, but you're setting a precedent that is unbiblical. Because I had attached that to the way I was raised. I was like, nope, they get what's left.
I can see why it's mentioned, being generous with your food and when you invite people. I can see why Jesus expected that. I can see it, but I'm not saying it's easy.
No.
No, it's not. And I think his overall point, what was this relationship that you have with God should trump everything. Because I really think it's what separates Jesus and what he represents other than any other religion out there. Because who just takes an ordinary day in the life and makes a principle about it?
Yeah.
And I think there's something really powerful here. Because you think about it, we're so busy. Especially, I mean, that's the American dream. I mean, I just went and did research about, you know, what do you do to combat being too busy? And the stuff the world has put out there that I read some of it, it is just, it'll make you gag. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, just find your own me time. And all, they're trying to figure out ways, you know, to combat that. But really, it is a problem. We get so busy that we're missing the whole point of why we should be busy, for the Lord.
That's exactly right.
And there's another principle here. You know, this should help you guys out there. I know some of you may not always come from the best family situation, don't have a great relationship, maybe with the home you grew up in or one of your parents. Jesus doesn't have this sort of relationship he has with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we know later, as he does. He doesn't have that relationship with his own family.
Remember you asked Ma, you know, why is she making way too much? And she said, you never know for a stranger. Come by.
So my
pretty good. Well, right. Pretty good.
Exactly.
But in the church, I think we got this backwards. We think that these big moments, these five or six trauma, tragedy moments, defines your character in your life. That's what they always say. But it's all the day-to-day that's building your character,
right?
So that when the tragedy happens, well, then you'll see how you handle it.
Right.
If you can't find the meaning of life in these day-to-day operations, you'll just be off million miles away from the Lord.
My point is, Jesus is really representative of a lot of modern Christians. He didn't have the best relationship with his own brothers and sisters and home situation, but he has it with these people.
Yep.
And so he's in their home. He feels comfortable there. We know that.
Jesus said it's somewhat of a burden, but it's...
So he's established a familial relationship with this family.
That's true.
More than even his own family. And that tells you something about what can be established in Christ. And I think there's a lot of people out there like that. They may not have the best situation in how they grew up, but you can find that with brothers and sisters and in other people's lives. I mean, it happens.
That's what I think the whole meaning of. When you get together with people in your house, the top priority you should have is to find Jesus in this scenario.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter who they are.
Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you whenever you're having people into your house.
Things will be accidentally dropped, shattered,
that's right,
torn up, ripped. It just inside someone's home.
Yeah.
kids are running around tearing up a little of this or that and the other. It's
oh, you may have there. I mean, that when we were on Swiss Street, you know, we invite people over. Well, you know, one of our guests ran the stop sign thinking the driveway was, I'm not sure what they thought, but they rammed into our house. I mean, they literally came over and just, they could have opened the door and just stepped into the living room. And I thought, oh, this is what happens.
Come on in.
This is what happens when you invite people to your house. They'll just ram their car into your house. So then what do you do?
I've seen the growth over the last 30 years watching y'all and your families, and I will have to admit, y'all have done well.
Yep. Well, we learned it from good people, Dad. So we're out of time, but a couple of things we didn't get to. One was I want to talk a little bit about worry, because Jesus brings that word up, and he's going to talk about that later. So we'll do that in our overtime segment. If you want to follow us over, blazetv.com/unashamed is where you can find this content.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.